You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Tā Rea Moriori is the language of the Moriori people. The first Moriori ancestors travelled hundreds of years ago from eastern Polynesia to Rekohu, which is what is known now as the Chatham Islands more broadly. The language Tā Rea Moriori is similar to Te Reo Māori and other Pacific Island languages, but it is truly unique and a true source of cultural heritage for the descendants of the Moriori that are alive today. The last fluent speakers passed away in the very early 1900s, but a lot of work has been done before this happened to protect Tā Rea Moriori and has been done since to revive it. Last week, the Ministry of Education released five stories on their website that are written completely in Tā Rea Moriori. I wanted to speak to someone about how this initiative came to be. I contacted the Hokotihi Moriori Heritage Trust and interviewed Susan Thorpe, who is the Cultural Projects Manager at the Trust, about the Ministry of Education resources, but also more widely about reviving the Moriori language. We also talked about the aspirations of Moriori to have the language and the history of the people to be better understood here in Aotearoa New Zealand and across the world. To begin with, the big question, could you briefly explain the history of the Moriori language and its people?
Of course. So Moriori migrated directly to Chatham Islands, and the name for the Chathams here is Rekohu, which means misty sun, directly from eastern Polynesia, probably about 800 years ago. And that direct migration brought with them their languages and traditions and artistic styles directly from their homelands, probably somewhere in the southern Tahiti, Austral Island group. And indeed, that's where we have the most common language similarities. So the language is similar to Te Reo Māori, similar to Kuki Airani, Kanaka Hawaii, and so on, but actually also has many differences as well, not just dialectical, but quite strong differences in terms of pronunciation and, in fact, words.
Now, I understand that the last fluent speakers passed away in the early 1900s. How is Te Rā Moriori used today if those fluent speakers are gone now?
Jemima, you're correct to say that the last fluent speakers probably passed away around about 1900, 1902. But even before then, they were speaking a kind of hybridised Moriori, Te Reo Māori, because Moriori had been enslaved for decades and prevented from speaking their own language. So even by 1900, the language was changing quite a lot. But fortunately, we have written archival sources, including an extraordinary bilingual partition written in 1862 by Moriori survivors, 130 pages in Moriori and in Māori. We have those references, and we have many other written sources from the late 1800s. So that's been the basis for the revival project.
Let's talk a little bit about the revival of Moriori and what the aspirations are when it comes to having the language more widely spoken or taught in schools, or what is sort of the goals when it comes to reviving the language?
Well, firstly, I think I want to acknowledge those Moriori ancestors who had extraordinary vision back in 1862 to go about writing down as much as they could. I mean, it's just amazing, and the gift that they've given us is incredible. So those early archivists must in some way have known that they had to protect these beautiful treasures. So our aspirations are for all New Zealanders to be aware that there is another language in our country. So our official languages here are, in fact, we've only got two official languages, Te Reo Māori and Sign Language. English is a de facto formal language, but not officially a language here. So we would like people to realise that there's yet another language that can be spoken in these islands, and to have Tāre Moriori revived in our homes, of course, at our marae here on Re Kohu, and to have the beauty and the diversity of our language understood. I strongly believe that language is connected with identity, and if you can speak your language or even parts of your language, you have a closer affiliation with your cultural identity.
Now, does that, the way that the language exists today, I know you spoke earlier about it having merged a little bit with Te Reo Māori, going forward, is it likely that that will continue to happen to make perhaps people's learning or their understanding of Te Reo Moriori easier, perhaps coming from a Te Reo Māori background?
No, I hope not. We're working hard to preserve its distinctiveness using those old archival sources. The sort of hybridisation was happening in the late 1800s, but we're going back earlier than that to stay as true as we can to the original language, and reviving almost on a daily basis the beautiful words. There's about 30 words that I know of to describe the dawn and the sunrise. So, you know, those
wow.
indicators of how important that was here, well, probably given our weather, that's not surprising. So we've developed a language app that's for Android phones at the moment. We have these beautiful short stories published, thanks to the Ministry of Education, on their online portal for learning Te Reo Māori, but they recognise that Tāre Moriori had a place there, which is, we're very grateful for that. And we worked with a team at Cognition Education and with our very talented translator, Kiwa Hammond, to bring these Tāre Moriori stories to life.
Fantastic. And I just wanted to touch a little bit more on those resources that have recently been published on the Ministry of Education website. How did that process sort of come to be? Is the Ministry of Education, did they approach the Trust, or was that sort of a group effort?
The Ministry approached Hokotihi Moriori Trust in the first instance because they had become aware through some of our discussions about promoting Moriori identity and culture through the school journals, that there was a distinctive gap in the records. So it was the Ministry's encouragement and respect for Tāre Moriori that saw this happen. And then we devised a metaphor for looking at how we would structure these resources. So Moriori have a beautiful cosmology that describes the separation of heavens and earth using 10 pillars. And we've used this as a metaphor for building our language from the ground upwards. So there's 5 stories now and 5 more to come shortly, comprising the full 10 pillars to rebuild our beautiful language.
I suppose a really cool thing that potentially might happen as well is with the government's initiative to have New Zealand history taught in all schools. Do you think there's a place for the history of the Moriori people and the language to be fed in through there as well?
There's undoubtedly a place for Moriori history and culture to be taught in all our schools. We've actually had to fight quite hard for that recognition, and the fight's ongoing. It's not just a local story. It's a truth that needs to be taught in all of our schools, and our education curriculum would be the better for it. The story of Moriori culture and identity and what happened down here on the Chathams is there's a lot of myths around it, and it's actually spectacularly invisible in our current curriculum. And in many New Zealanders' minds, so often when we get some kind of social media discussion about Moriori history or culture, suddenly there's a rush of commentators on Twitter or Reddit or Facebook or wherever denying Moriori even exist, or saying things like, nope, they're just another Māori tribe. And these are the kinds of myths we definitely want to eradicate.
Just one final thing, when it comes to the resources that are available on the Ministry of Education website, and I'm sure other resources that are available through the Heritage Trust, could you speak about why it's important to have these sort of resources available for all people to access?
Well, some of the core Moriori values are based on inclusivity, sharing and peacemaking. So our view is, We want to share our beautiful culture and language with the world, with anyone who would show any interest in learning this. In fact, some of the greatest interest we've had is from international audiences. So we know that there's a passion for learning about what's quite possibly the oldest language spoken in New Zealand territorial waters.
That was Susan Thorpe, the Cultural Projects Manager at the Hokotihi Moriori Heritage Trust, speaking about efforts to revive Te Reo Moriori, the language of the Moriori people. We touched on the recent publication of 5 books written entirely in Te Reo Moriori on the Ministry of Education website. If you are interested in reading them or having a wee look, please do head to Kauwhatareo, which is kauwhatareo.govt.nz, and then you can head to a resources page, and the resource you're looking for is Ka Kakipunga Kōrero, which is awesome. So the books are beautifully illustrated and a really important resource for the language revival, and in my opinion, it would make a very great lazy lockdown day activity. So do absolutely take a look. And thank you so much, Susan, for her time this morning.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.